You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Well, David, good morning. Welcome to the show. We are running early today. Got time?
Yes, of course I do. Thank
you. Very good. Okay.
Let's take a quick look at today's session. Give me just one quick moment here. Okay, well, you know, we have declined. We started a decline yesterday in the S&P futures off of the 974 target, which we talked about yesterday and which was listed in the panel. And the market spiked above that level a little bit, but did react, and they did decline today to the natural initial downside target at 962, which is listed in the panel. And they bounced off that level, or they are bouncing off that level right now. And this prompted a trade entry attempt earlier. Messenger Pro had indicated that 971 would be the natural upside target off of the test of 962.50. And the market has just run into 971 just now and is reacting off that level. So we're getting very normal market movement for today. And this type of behavior, even though it's very quiet, and we've seen this now because this is part of the seasonality of summertime, that summertime itself, as a general rule, the volume detracts or retracts a little bit, and you get a market that may indeed make decent moves, but it does it with a start and a stop, and a start and a stop, and it kind of gets to a number and then just goes very quiet. We're seeing that type of behavior. And in the many years that I've been following markets, I've seen a number of different ways that summertime plays out. Some of them can be enormously boring. You've probably seen it yourself, I'm sure.
I have.
Where, you know, the market is just doing nothing. It'll have one move for the day, one little move, and then it'll spend the remainder of the day in a very, very compressed range and maybe a tiny little finishing move. It's very difficult to sit around all day and trade under those conditions.
And you get hungry, and you get hungry for action, and you do crazy things like go trade the Russell.
Right. Or any number of other crazy things that you can do. The list of crazy things you can do in the market is long. So, anyway, this market so far for this summer, and we're approaching about the halfway point of summertime. We're not quite there yet, but we are. Does summer end on September 22nd, I think, this year? So we're moving in on the halfway point of it. And honestly, it has not been that bad. The market has had some nice moves. It is very quiet now intraday, as you can see. And there are many types of trading systems that could rely or may rely on this type of quiet behavior to make small amounts of money, but to make them without the higher risk that's associated with, you know, larger volatility. Some people are very frightened by the volatility in markets, and these slow periods can be very useful. If you have good numbers to know where the market should firm up and reverse, you can wait for some confirmation at that level and take a small trade. You're not going to necessarily get a large move out of it, and you probably won't, but you can gain a small number of points by doing that, and that's a good practice trade or way to, you know, make some money in the market.
Did you have a super trade on the way up to this 971?
We did not. The super trade would have been listed as a 62 to 71 if we had one, but the purpose of our 62 buy limit was for 71, and instead of listing it as a super trade, they listed it as a natural upside target.
Okay.
The reason why it wasn't a super trade today, super trade, part of what super trades depend on is a certain amount of market volatility, and I think the market volatility was not low enough to trigger that type of trade for us. So they just listed the natural target on the upside, and it had already bounced. It had already been coming up off of the 62 low, but we wanted to be in. We tried to buy at 63.50 or whatever the number was, but we didn't get filled, and the market did, of course, complete the 71 target. It was a nice trade if we could have gotten it. But as I said to you on the show before, and this is a great thing to remember, we missed a trade, but that is not going to make our system act differently on the next trade. The psychology of trying to catch up for the trade we missed, or any number of ways that people, you know, think about these things, is not present. in the system, and people have to learn to not A, punish themselves for missing a trade, or B, change their system in order to make sure the next trade that they don't miss. Because when you see a nice trade from 62 up to 71 occur and you don't get any of it, it can be frustrating, but you really have to grow up and get over that, if I can put it that bluntly, because any other way you handle it is going to cause you to change, alter what you're doing, and you may already have centered on a very good thing. You probably did if you've studied it, and now you're just changing it on the fly. Those types of things don't tend to work out in the market. Changing your system on the fly doesn't tend to work out. Do you want me to get that line for you? I'm just joking, Dwayne.
If Tiger Woods changed his swing every time he addressed the ball, it's fair to say he would have lived a life of golfing obscurity.
There you are. Well said. So anyway, so as we sit right now, we're still reacting off the 71 target, and higher prices are expected. We're roughly bullish on the market today because they have gone down and tested the 62 level. The 62 level was the final level prior to more important support, and the chances are is that in a market that had a good run-up like yesterday, that 62 is not going to be that's a pretty good area for the market to have bottomed here. There are lower prices, but let's let them, you know, show us. But we're still relatively bullish here, for at least for the first half of the day. 62, another number that is not necessarily one that would be necessarily easy to see on a chart. There's nothing really special or unique about 62, but it's not a number that if you look on your chart that you would recognize as a support level, most likely, if you look at an ordinary chart. And we had this discussion yesterday Mike
Reed.
He was talking back and forth with us about these numbers. And this is another kind of an example of a number that would not normally be a support or resistance level on the chart physically as you're looking at the chart. But it is definitely a very important level for other reasons. And again, we go back to the mathematics, the technical analysis of numbers, and that is one of the reasons that this is listed as an important level, along with the idea that once the market completed 74, that the natural downside target, the energy contained in the cycle that would turn the market at 74, this is, we're talking about 974 yesterday,
mm-hmm, right,
that energy would bring the market down to 962. As an important target, that swing from 74 down to 62, a 12-point decline. So that's another reason, because there's a certain amount of energy in every turning point. And we've talked about that idea before, that the turning points themselves contain a certain minimum amount of energy in them that can be converted into price movement. And one of the newer features that we're working on for our new messenger window is the hourly turning point and daily turning point calendar updates, which will give you not only the date for the turning point or the hour for the turning point, but how many points it should reverse off of that then current low. See what I'm saying? So as an example, if we had that in our turning point hourly turning point calendar for today, it would have said any, you know, if the market gets down to 62 in the second hour or whatever, it would reverse and the minimum upside target would be 71. And so you would have a move from, you know, 71 minus 62 is 9 points. That's a minimum of a 9-point advance off the then current low. And that can be extremely useful information for people who are day trading and wanting to try to hold these positions for a more important target rather than just simply trading for a small snip. There's nothing wrong with small snips, but to hold for a little bit more of a swing trade intraday. And there's a great deal of satisfaction in getting that right, in terms of being in the market, taking off some of your positions, and then holding for this natural minimum upside target. And a number of people who are in our system are there for what we call the super trades, and for this type of setup where we're giving them the target in advance, and they know how to trade. They know how to put positions together. They don't really need or want necessarily our entry, mm-hmm, but they will follow the trade through to the target, and it can be very satisfying to do that. as long as you're trading in multiple contracts. And this is one of the reasons why we like to do that. Trading in multiple contracts allows you to be two or three different people in the market. It allows you to be the short-term trader for a small number of points. It allows you to be the longer-term trader for a larger swing trade. So that's something to consider. I am a real fan of trading in multiples. I'm also a fan of not getting all the positions put on at one point. So, you know, being all in at one number. I like to get in at one number, and I like to add a few as the market continues to confirm. And in doing so, that allows me, A, to be more than one person in the market. I can be the short-term and a longer-term trader to the target, like 71. Mm-hmm. And I can also psychologically withstand the idea of holding on to a winning position, which we've talked about before, is not that easy to do. Being right can be very painful. While you're holding on to a good position, that can be very tormenting.
And so although you don't do it in the messenger product, you're saying that personally you do.
Well, no, we do. Our messenger product does trade in multiples. It trades
But you don't scale into positions.
No, we don't scale into positions.
You scale out of them with Messenger Pro.
Yes, that's correct.
But didn't you just say that you personally?
Yes.
Will scale into a trade. Okay.
I will. My preference is to scale into a trade. I will buy where we want to buy, where our messenger product's buying, if I'm able to get a position on, I'll buy there. But I also like, if the market continues to confirm, I like to add to that position as the market confirms. Hmm. Very much like we've talked about before, let your success determine your growth. That same statement will allow you to put on a better position if you'll let the success of the position determine your growth. I'm not a fan of adding to positions once the market's actually underway too much. I prefer to try to get most of them on as the market is testing a important support level like 62 and starting to confirm at that level, and maybe a little bit as it starts to go up. But I try to get all in. This is just my own way of doing it, but I try to get as much as I am all in prior to the run. There is a good argument, I want to say this, that's just my way, there's a good argument for once the run starts that you add some there too, because once that run is on, the odds are very strong that it's not going to end right as you buy it. You know what I'm saying? And if you have a target...
Now, there's a lot of traders out there right now going, well, no, that happens to me all the time.
No, but what they're doing is something different. They're buying, well, you know, I don't know what they're doing, but let me make the assumption. I don't want to be like somebody who doesn't know all the facts, like our president, as an example, and make a comment about something. No, just being halfway playful there. But I want to say that I myself have probably bought thousands of positions over the many, many years of doing this, where you buy it and that exact same thing happens. The moment you buy, the move is over.
Yep.
Like, how did I pick the exact spot where the market is going to turn? I can sell this information. All I have to do is buy or sell at that number, and it would be wonderful. But if you look at what you're doing when you find yourself doing that, a lot of the time, number one, you're buying without real knowledge about where the market should go, what a natural move for the market would be. Mm-hmm. And that's number one. So you're just buying based on some other idea, whether it's an indicator or something else. Number two, remember we've talked about this before, and this is a little less market and a little more psychology, but it is great, it's of great importance to wait for the 1 to 3 times a day where the market really shows you something that's compelling. And if I'm honest, I have to really say that most of the positions where I buy and the market stops, I'm actually acting out of impulse. I'm acting out of a whim. I have not waited for the market really to show me something that I personally understand about the market. And if you think about it and you go back over your own trading, I think you'll find that what I'm telling you is very close to the truth, which is that when you buy and the market happens to turn right there, you're buying on impulse, you're buying on a whim, you're buying because you're bored. You know, the mm-hmm. list could be quite long.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to happen to me when I'm waiting for the 1 to 3 positions a day that occur where I am trading by exception, which we've talked about before. I have no intention of trading. Go into the office, have no intention of trading, but wait until they show you something so good that you make an exception and take a trade. If the trade is that good, you tend to have much better success than you would by trading on impulse. Let me speak for myself. The majority of the kinds of trades that I've taken in my life, and there's been many, many, many of them, where I buy and the market stops right then and there, were trades based on a whim, based on my own boredom, based on my own need to feel like I'm doing something with my life, not just sitting and staring at a screen, ad nauseum. So I think that's probably the case for others as well.
I agree.
Yeah, I really want to stress to people that if you're trading your own system through your own understanding, wait till you really see something utterly compelling. Try it. Experiment with the idea that I've talked about, which is to look at your market with no intention of trading at all. Instead of being a trader, watching the market, waiting for a trade, hoping to have a setup, be a man looking at the market. Trade only by exception. Don't even intend to trade, and then wait for the market to show you something that's compelling. And tell me later. I'd love to hear from your listeners if they try that. Wait for something, of course, that you understand. You know, something that your own work, your own system, whatever it is, tells you is a good setup. Wait for that. Do nothing else in between. And tell me if you do not see an improvement in your overall trading. Don't just do it one day. I'm asking you to take a whole month and do that, because I think of the month myself as the real way of judging whether I had a successful period of time or not. Any one single day, you may be very intensely involved or maybe not, but the fact is that it's at the end of the month that it really makes a difference. And if you've made money, you can review the trades, review what you did for the month, and really take it seriously. So frivolous trading, I've said this before, this is kind of a saying, but if you trade like a gambler, you're going to get gambling-type results. And I am not a believer in gambling. I don't know why anybody on earth would ever want to place a bet when they know the odds are against them. I would like to place a bet when I'm pretty sure that the odds are in my favor. That's the only time I really want to place a bet.
So. And well, I can't say they only do it in Vegas, but you talked about this the other day. If you had an opportunity to buy a piece of real estate, and you know, and the realtor says, now keep in mind that there's a lot of poverty and crime in this neighborhood, and there's the potential that, you know, there was once a toxic waste dump at this site. Are you sure you still want to buy the property? Boy, the odds really are against you.
Correct.
There's crime, there's poverty, there's pollution. So, yeah, why not go buy a piece of property where the realtor says, you know, low crime, people in this neighborhood have money, and the soil's already been tested.
Right. Don't let your impatience make you take a deal that is less than what it should be with regard to its quality. And be willing to let a deal go if it just wasn't yours, if you didn't get it. This morning is a great example. You know, we made a nice call. The market did what we thought it would do. It went to 71, but we did miss that trade. And like I said at the start of the program, we're not going to let that affect how we take our next trade. We'll just wait for the next trade, and we'll do that as best as we can, trying to manage the risk, etc. So, some things to think about. And I would like to switch. Were you going to make a point, Wayne, or did I cut you off?
Me make a point? Nah. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I have a tendency. You get me going, and you know, I'm not sure if anything.
Well, I will. I'll say this, and then you can go to soybeans.
Okay.
I will always, and if henceforth, whenever the messenger product, when I have a window open, and you fire off a trade, I'll have a mental image of you opening your desk drawer, taking off your little cap that says spectator,
right,
putting it in the drawer, and pulling out your cap that says speculator, and putting it
there
on your
you
head.
Are. Well said. I like that. Now, we could come out with T-shirts, Dwayne, that have spectator on the front and speculator on the back, and only people who trade would understand that.
Yes, yes.
I like that. We're good together. We come up with a lot of good ideas. We're telling everybody all of our good ideas.
We should do radio or something.
Yeah, this radio would be fabulous if people would just listen to us.
I just don't know if it's going to catch on.
Well, I think yours did catch on. I looked around, and you guys are you're the big guys on the block. And that's nice, by the way. Congratulations on your success and what you've done there. And I know it's taken a lot of work to get to that point, but it's beautiful. You know,
it's the quality of our guests.
Well, there you are. And you have quality guests on. I've listened to every one of them, and I'm very happy to say that you have taken the time and trouble to select. There's a lot in any industry, I want to say this again, in any industry out there, doesn't matter what you've been in, and I've been in a number myself over the years, there are people that, you know, there's, for lack of a better word, there's scammy people in any business. And, you know, that's just the nature of the beast and the way things go. But the financial industry has certainly had it, has had its number of those people in it in many different ways, not just brokers and not just the Bernie Madoffs and all the others, but there's many, many different levels that this occurs on. And I myself have, in my own business, seen the temptation. Because you can see, wow, this would be easy to say this or do this or whatever, and you realize that over time, it's just like trading. The easy stuff or the, you know, the quick result isn't the way to do it. You have to really decide at some point that you're just going to do your best work and let the cards fall where they may. And one thing I will say is, having done this, having been in the business that I'm in, which is developing products for the market, it has made my own approach to the market improve over time, because in a sense I'm not just doing it in my own in a living room or at my home. I am actually, in a sense, people are really monitoring and watching what I'm doing.
Right.
I have a boss looking over my head, in a sense, and I'm not able to get away with what I normally would get away with regard to trading my own money. If you ever want to really see the difference between how what it is you really know in the market and what your own sloppy trading is, all you have to do, if I may say so, I'm not saying everybody has sloppy trading, but if you really want to see what it is you know in the market, get some money from someone else who you care about, somebody who's in your life, a friend, a wife, somebody that you care about who you know this money means something to, put it in a trading account, and tell them you're going to trade that money for them. Trade your own account just the same way you always do it, and then have their money sitting there. And I can guarantee you that you will not take one-tenth of the trades in their account that you're taking in your own account. And I can also say that there's a high likelihood that you'll be more successful in their account than you will be in your own account. At least I was many, many years ago when that exact same thing happened to me. And I think I've told that story, and that story is actually in our newsletter. If you sign up on the site at pagetrader.com, just take our free nightly report. There's a story in an interview I did with CQG that talks about my story about that, and I've mentioned it on the radio before.
Right.
I won't go into the details, but the fact is that I was trading like an expert in a woman's account that I was trading for, who couldn't afford to lose any money, and I was trading like an idiot in my own account. My own account was decimated. I mean, it was just in shreds, but her account, over a three-year period, we made 100% per year for 2 years and about 70% on the third year. And we didn't finish the third year. We only went up to about the seventh month in the third year. And at that same time, she was able to take money out of her account and actually live off of it. That was something I was never able to do in my own account. I was never able to make money and actually pull it out and spend it on something real and say, I made that money trading. But she was able to do that with her account. And the only thing that put her in that position was that I was afraid and extremely cautious with the idea of losing her money. And I did exactly what I'm telling you today. I simply decided not to trade her account. And that's how I looked at the screen every day. I had no intention of trading her account. And finally something would come up, and by the time that something came up, I had already decimated my account trying to get in and being stopped out and on and on and on, you know. But by the time all that was over, it would suddenly dawn on me, wow, this is good enough for Marta's account. The woman's name was Marta. And so I've got, you know, dead soldiers all over my account, but I go into her account, and now she's buying at the exact right time, and we did that for 3 years running. And I learned a truly profound lesson from that. The lesson was that there are two people inside of me, one who wants to fool around in the market, one who wants to take a shot ad nauseum, and there's another one who knows a little something about the market and is afraid to even use that. And yet when the market shows me that, I would finally say, I think this is good for her, and I can't help myself. I must put her in. This is good enough for her account. It has to be. This is the bottom. And you're forced to put somebody in. It's that compelling. And that lesson has stuck with me. And even even though I've gone back and forth a little bit over the years with regard to how aggressively I trade, the fact is that my very best trading is done when I think just like I thought when trading her account. And if you'd like to see that and experience it for yourself, it might be an entertaining story as I'm telling you, but if you really want to experience that for yourself, trade for some other person that you care for, that you know and have empathy for, that you don't want to lose their money. Have them open an account and trade that account. You'll see an entirely different trader because you don't want to trade at all for them. You're going to be thinking just like I'm talking. I don't want to trade this. And then something will come up and you'll say, oh yeah, that's good enough. And some part of what you understand about the market will come out. You'll feel compelled on some level and you'll find out what I found out, which is that the game gets much better when you stop trying to be a trader, when you stop thinking of yourself as a trader, you stop having imagery of what a trader does, and you simply wait for what you understand. You're only entitled to what you understand from the market, and that's what I learned from that lesson, was that if I understand this piece and it's compelling, I'm entitled to that, and I can get that piece. And so to this day, this was way back, many years ago, almost 20 years ago, from this day, I remember the profoundness of that insight that while I was decimating one account, I'm actually making 100% per year in another account, trading like a pro. If you showed those statements to people, they would say, this guy over here is an expert, this guy over here is an idiot. And it was the same guy.
Oh,
that's just an amazing thing to me.
That is amazing. It really is.
Yeah. Try that sometime. If you really want to see your own trading improve, I really believe that that would be a great lesson. It's something I learned by accident, but I really think it's a great idea to trade for other people to try to improve your account. And in my particular case, it made a profound impact on me, which to this day is a big operating theme in my outlook. So I hope that's helpful to people who are in the markets and trading. If we can, let's switch over. Just take 1 minute here. Do you have time?
I have time.
Okay, just real quick. Just for this morning, in the soybean market today, we exited yesterday's short position. I won't go into the details about that. But we made some money on that. This morning in soybeans, in the November contract, we bought at $9.22. The market came down and hit 9.21 and a quarter, and then it bounced off. And we got out of our position at around 924, 925, and then our aggressive exit was stopped out. People who held for the aggressive, the market went down and made new recent lows and stopped us out at a break even on that. This market, the soybean market, is a fabulous market. It's not as sexy as the financial, market is, but it has really good moves, can be read very easily, and I encourage people to take a look at that market and see if they can't find something useful in it, and even one or two times a day where the market gets into a position where you can take a trade. And I want to say this one last thing. We've talked a lot about psychology this morning. I've said this before. I want to say it again. Put your trading books down. Put the trading magazines down. It's not that they're not valuable, but they are a place on the mountain. And what can happen is that you make a truly perfectly legitimate place, which is to read books, read magazines, try to absorb that information. That's a resting place on the mountain on the way up, but you can't turn that into a permanent home. You have to move away from that, and to continue up the mountain, you have to leave that plateau of so-called external encouragement, which is the reading of books, the reading of magazines, etc. Mm-hmm. You have to leave that and actually take the trip, start making your own decisions, and let go of the imagery that you gained from those books and magazines, the imagery of what it means to be a trader, the imagery of what traders make, how their lifestyle is, all these bad, false ideas that get planted in your head, and you have to make your own way up. You have to become a light unto yourself in this work, in trading, just like people do in every other career. They finally find their way, but you won't find your way if you stay at the plateau of external encouragement, which is the plateau of reading books, reading magazines. Maybe you read them for just interest, but you have to get that stuff out of your head because they plant some really bad ideas, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I believe, very, very many false ideas about what it means to be a trader, what a trader does, how he should act, how he thinks, how brazen they are, what kind of risk they take, all that stuff has to be taken out so that you can find your own way up the mountain. It's not their way up the mountain, it's your way up the mountain. And you would be surprised, and you will be surprised, and you must be surprised, because it will come as a surprise to you, how your own natural intelligence will come out when you get all of that out of your head and start to climb the mountain on your own and leave the plateau of external encouragement behind. Maybe you're new to this, and maybe you're there now and you're going to stay there for a few months, but at some point you have to make it out of that plateau and become a light unto yourself with regard to trading. Find your own way. Find your own natural intelligence with the market. You have it. You really do. There is something inside you. But that natural intelligence can be obscured very easily by imagery of what traders think like, act like, risk like, live like, you know, all that stuff that we've read, all of us have read in the books and magazines. I'd be very careful with that stuff. I encourage people to find their own way and to make it up the mountain and to continue to explore, even though it's more uncomfortable to do that without the external encouragement. When you make breakthroughs, they really have meaning to you, and you can really put them to work. And I have found for myself great encouragement in finding my own way. I encourage others to do so as well. So there you are.
That was good, David.
Well, good.
That was really good, yeah. And I hope...
Thank you.
I hope whoever was supposed... Well, I'm certain that whoever was supposed to hear that heard it.
Well, it was good for me, too, because to say these things and hear myself saying them reminds me of the importance of them as well. So I'm one of them. We have to keep ourselves on track. I'm one of them myself, and I do hope it helps people. I struggled for many years with not realizing that those false ideas were in my head and that I was acting from them while trading. And it was when you started to suddenly realize that, it's like, oh, that's not me. That's not how I would act. I'm just imitating something that I read.
Or attempting to imitate.
Attempting. Yeah, attempting. That's even better. Attempting to imitate something that I'd read.
So am I failing at trading, or am I failing at imitating?
That's great. That's the exact thing. Listen, be happy to fail at the imitation. You know, we don't have to worry about a failure at imitation. What we have to worry about is finding our own natural intelligence with regard to the market. You found it in many other areas of your life. You have found your own natural intelligence in other areas. But we tend to give so much credence to outside sources and to things when we are coming into something new like trading, perhaps. But it becomes a habit. And like I say, it's a legitimate rest stop, the plateau of external encouragement. But it's not a permanent home. You have to move on from there in order for your trading to improve. And so I'm a firm believer that you and I and your listeners have their own unique and natural way of looking at the market, their own little niche of what they find that can work for them, the things that can actually make them succeed. And once you have a little of that operating in you, it's a great encouragement. It's a fabulous encouragement. And it sets you, you know, the rich get richer. There's a good example of what we talked about yesterday. The rich get richer, meaning that you have found something by your own light, and now you're even more encouraged to go in that direction. And that is up the mountain. So, that's been a great encouragement to me over the years, and I hope people will put some of that to use and find out for themselves if they have that natural intelligence. I'm quite sure they do.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I really do. So for where we are now, Dwayne, the market continues to test the 71 level we talked about earlier, and it's quiet. We're in the dog days of summer. If I had my way, I'd shut it down right now, and we'd go out and enjoy the day.
One of us needs to get a place in the Hamptons.
Yeah, that's right.
We can go hang out there with the big dogs in the summer, you know.
Exactly, and just take a few weeks off and not have to worry about it. But for the time being, we'll try to put something together for the rest of the day. And, Dwayne, as always, I love being on the program.
In the meantime, we'll continue to dwell in the desert.
Right, exactly.
And what are we thinking?
What are we thinking? It's like my daughter said to me the other day, Dad, why are we doing this to ourselves? You know, what are we doing here in the desert? It's really hot. Well... I'm going to take a trip to, I just want to mention this is just no market information, but I'm going to take a trip to Santa Barbara and that's in California. It's a little bit north of Los Angeles. It's a beautiful area. I'd like to take a look there. We're going to spend a few days there just to see what it's like to not be in the desert, to enjoy some much more moderate temperatures. It's right on the beach. It's a very quaint community. And I'll report back to you if you have an interest. I don't know if you've been there before.
It's beautiful. You know, I think I've driven through there, but I didn't spend any time.
Yeah, I haven't been there probably in 25 years. The only thing I remember about Santa Barbara was, and I was only there because a friend needed to talk to somebody, but we drove down a street that was very quaint. I remember the town seemed very quaint. We were driving down a street, and I was struck by the fact that the trees on either side of the street covered over, they ran into each other by arcing over the street. So the entire street had this beautiful shade, and I thought to myself, you know, I have never seen that. And that just really struck me, and I, you know, it's 25 years ago memory, but I want to go back there and take a look and drive down the little streets. I'm a guy that, for me personally, I don't want to live in a mansion. I would rather live in a really, really quaint and cozy 1,000-square-foot or 1,500-square-foot house that's really done nicely, that has a great, wonderful warmth to it. Any day.
You want an English cottage with ivy growing all over
exactly, it. Exactly. That, to me, would be so much better than living in a big, impressive mansion. To me, for some reason, that kind of house, to me, just is means everything. So if we ever do meet in person and I ever, you know, buy a piece of property somewhere, you can rest assured if my next piece of property is, other than something like an investment house for renting it or something, but something that I would live in, is going to be something like that. I'm going to look and find a really quaint thing, almost like those Thomas Kincaid pictures.
Yeah,
that you see
that's sometimes. You know, I was thinking that when I gave you the English cottage with the ivy.
Yeah.
I was going to mention the light in the window.
Right.
That's David hunched over his monitor.
Exactly. That is me. So just that, I've laid it on the line. Now you know who you're dealing with.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, with this business, as you are, you know, of course you know this, you're not, well, I don't know your life, so maybe you are geographically bound.
Mm-hmm.
But places of which you speak, not that they don't exist in America, but, man, in England and in Ireland, those places are plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
And, even in the French countryside, and affordable.
Yeah. Well, I sure love that. If you get a chance, if any of your listeners get a chance and you're in a mall, quite often they're selling calendars, or sometimes there's an entire store that is a Thomas Kincaid store, and they show these pictures of these cozy houses with these nice little roads that lead up to them, and just beautiful imagery. And I just love that, and I would, if I could step into one of those pictures and live in that house and buy it, I think I'd pay a lot of money to have a house like that.
Well, they're out there. Keep
they
working.
Are. I'm sure they are. Well, Dwayne, thank you so much. As always, I love being on the show. Today's Friday. Everybody have a great weekend. I hope you guys get a chance to break away and do something different with your weekend, get some exercise, get out there and do something, and we'll put this all back together next week because we are at some critical levels or approaching critical levels on the upside in this market. And I think there's a lot of good trading left in the summer, even though we do have a relatively slow type summer market. I'm really excited that there's some great trades coming up in the next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And we also invite people to come to pagetrader.com, take a look at some of our work, and take a free trial and see if this is something that might not be useful to you. So I look forward to talking with you on Monday, and have a great weekend, Wayne.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.